1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we enter into a week where we look back of, we remember of Christ's suffering on the cross for us, his death and his burial, and of course the greatest celebration of all is in his resurrection, in which we will speak on next week. But we want to kind of get ourselves in the thinking of the times, and we want to focus this morning on the institution of the Lord's Supper, how that happened in history, and how it was explained further in the Scriptures, so we have a true understanding of it. So let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. It says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Let's pray. Dearly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your great sacrifice and the cross of Calvary for our sins. We thank you for this ordinance of the Lord's Supper that you instituted before you gave your life, Lord, as a way that we as believers can remember your sacrifice, Lord. We know that we do have a tendency to forget, and we thank you for this. And we just pray that you would help us to understand its significance and its symbolism, and just draw us unto yourself, Lord, as we examine ourselves in light of your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, on that night, of course, there's always some different arguments of what the actual night was, of how we calculate it, of what night of the week. But we realize that Jesus met with his disciples for the Feast of Passover. This was one of the most important festivals in the Jewish calendar, that it was done to remember what God had done for the children of Israel when they were delivered from bondage in Egypt. We see the story of this when it was first instituted, given in Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. And verse 1, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months, it shall be the first year of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. They shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the house wherein they shall eat it. They shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat it not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof, and ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. That which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire, and thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." And so we see the pattern that it was to put them in remembrance. We realize, of course, that the whole symbolism and imagery and all that was done in the Passover meal And in reference to that was but a shadow of things to come, that Christ was a fulfillment. We realized that through this week, Christ had been fulfilling the pattern, and in short time, He would completely fulfill it. We understand how that the Lamb was chosen on the 10th day, and then they had 3 days, and then it was killed on the 14th day. And the reason for that, it was to be examined to see if it was a Lamb that was without blemish. And we remember with Jesus that He came into the temple and the Sadducees and the Pharisees asked Him all these different questions to prove Him. And He always gave them an answer that showed them that there was no sin at all with Him, that they couldn't find anything against Him. And so He was proven to be a Lamb that was without spot and without blemish. And we see in other places in the Scripture that Christ is referred to as our Passover. He is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That we think of the picture of the blood of the Lamb was shed and it was applied. And those that were in the house were saved. That when the Lord saw the blood, He would pass over them. And we think of it in that same way that when we think of the destruction that will come upon us because of our sin, all of us are sinners and the wages of sin is death. But we realize that when Jesus Christ is paid the penalty for our sins, He has shed His blood, and as we apply that blood to our lives through faith, that the Lord sees the blood and He passes over us, and so we do not face the judgment of the Lord, that the judgment has fallen upon the Lord already, and so it doesn't need to fall upon us. And so we see that He's fulfilling this, but now He puts forth something new, that we understand that He is showing the fulfillment of the old covenant and the bringing forth of the new covenant. That you would see that this is something for the disciples. Passover was something they did year after year, and it was always pretty much the same. And all of a sudden, there was something different, and it would not be something that they would understand. And we think, as the Lord said when He washed their feet, He said, "Well, what I'm doing." You don't understand it now, but you'll know hereafter. And that's something we understand with as He instituted the Lord's Supper, that they wouldn't have understood it fully at the time, but we understand that the Lord quickly brought clarification, both through His life and then through the Word itself. And that's what we want to look at, that this is what we are examining, that we want to get back to the simplicity of what this was, because through the centuries there's been much that's been added to the Lord's Supper, much that's been changed by men, and in some ways it can be something that doesn't even resemble what was given originally. And we want to get back to its simplicity, to its true meaning, that we understand it fully. And so we see, as He gave it, that He says, "Take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of Me." Same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in My blood." And we see that the picture of us, that this was His body that was broken for us, and this was His blood that was shed for us. And we see very clearly through the Scriptures of how He brought clarification, that when He suffered and died for our sins, that He gave a clear representation of what He meant, that His body was broken for us. We read already this morning in Isaiah chapter 53, in verse 5, it says, "He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. We are all like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all." That His body was broken for us. That it was not something that some think, well, that He was just this unfortunate victim of events, that people turned on Him and He was killed. No, we understand that He gave His life willingly, and that all that was done, it wasn't just an accident, it was on purpose. And He did it for us. His body was broken for us. We see the record in Luke chapter 22. It speaks of His affliction. It says, Luke 22 and verse 63, the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him, and when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, prophesy, who is it that smote thee? And this was before the Sanhedrin. We see later on that he was delivered up unto the Gentiles. And John chapter 19, in verse 1 it says, then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And we understand the scourging, that he was whipped, but it's not a simple bull whip. It was a cat of nine tailed. And at the end of each of the whips, there was a hard piece of bone or a piece of metal that would cut the skin. And there were not simply merely stripes on his back when he was done. There were deep gashes, and the blood would have been pouring out. Some even think that some of his internal organs might even have been exposed, that it was such a gruesome punishment. And we see that the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put him on him a purple robe and said, hail, King of the Jews, and they smote him with their hands. And we see another place of how they had given him a reed and they smote him on the head, that they drove the crown of thorns down into his brow. That he suffered such great things. We see recorded in Isaiah chapter 52, prophetically speaking of the Lord Jesus, it says, as many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men, that he was beaten up to the point that he could not even be recognized for who he was. And we realize that his body was broken and it was done for us. We also recognize his blood was shed, that all through Jerusalem his blood would have been slowly dripping down. And then we see at the cross of Calvary after he died, it's recorded in John chapter 19. That the soldiers, they came to break the legs of those crucified so that they would die quicker, but they found that Jesus' legs were already, or he had already dead, and they did not break his legs. But we see verse 34 of John 19. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and this record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. That his blood was shed, that it is the New Testament of his blood, that we are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We are redeemed by his blood. The covenant has been made, that we understand from the book of Hebrews that it had to occur that by the shedding of blood, that the old covenant, the Old Testament, was brought in by the blood of the covenant. And so there was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that brought in this new covenant. That we realize that Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered into once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And so we look at that. We understand what occurred, that this was what it was to signify, and that is what we are to remember. We understand from the language where Jesus said that this is my body, this is my blood. We recognize that he's speaking of as being symbolic, that's metaphorically. It is not something where it's actually his blood because he, or his body because he stood before them, but it was a picture of what was to happen to them, and it's a picture to us that we look back, we think of what happened in the past. And we understand the symbolism that those were the days of unleavened bread, and so the bread was unleavened, and that's when we do have the Lord's Supper this Friday, that we use unleavened bread. Leaven is always shown as a symbol of sin in the Bible, and so it'll be unleavened bread, and that's why we use what we drink. It's spoken of as the fruit of the vine, that it's, we don't, there's not alcohol in it, there's not leaven, that it's free from that. And because it's a picture of the body and blood of Christ. There was no sin, there was no impurity within it. And that's why we do it that way. And we recognize that the central reason for why we do the Lord's Supper, why we have communion, is it's to be in remembrance of Him. That we see that repeated in verse 24 and 25. This do in remembrance of me. As often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. That we have to remember. We forget so easily. We spoke this morning of one pastor that said that as people that we have a good backslider and we have a good forgetter. That's not proper English at all, but it's the thought that we, as humans, we tend to turn away from the truth and we turn to forget things so quickly. And we need that time to remember. And we see in 1 Corinthians 11 that the Lord gives us further clarification. And you look at the Corinthian church and they had a lot of problems. And in some ways, you don't want to think of it that way, but we can be thankful that they had problems because then Paul was able to speak on it so we could understand things. That there was different things that they weren't doing properly. They were not using the gift of tongues properly, and so he gave an understanding of that. And they weren't conducting the Lord's Supper properly, and so he gave a further understanding of that here in 1 Corinthians 11. And we see that is, we understand what it is to be a pattern of what the Lord has done for us. It is to show the Lord's death till He come. That it is a picture of His sacrifice for us. Just as baptism is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we see in Romans chapter 6. In verse 3 it says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." That we realize that both with baptism and with the Lord's Supper, that it is a picture of what the Lord has done. And we think of baptism, of how a person is put under the water and raised up, that just as Jesus was laid in the tomb and was risen from the dead, so that we spiritually were dead to sins and we're alive unto Christ. And we understand with the Lord's Supper that we do it to remember. We picture the Lord's death until He come. And we realize that the Lord's Supper, just as with baptism, it does not impart grace to us. It does not complete our salvation. We realize that both are done by those that are saved. And we see specifically with the Lord's Supper, that it was done by those who were baptized believers. And it's to be done by believers until He comes again. But we want to see clearly in verse 27 of 1 Corinthians 11 that it is a serious thing. It says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." That we see the truth of this clearly shown in the life of Judas, that after he instituted the Lord's Supper, we find in the passage in Luke that it says, "Behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is at the table." And Judas partook. He partook unworthily, not discerning the Lord's body. And we understand that he brought damnation to himself, that he betrayed the Lord Jesus. But then he realized what he had done was wrong, but he could not find a place of repentance, that he went out and hanged himself. That he tried to make amends, but he couldn't. And so we understand the seriousness of it, that we are to have this time of self-examination. It says in verse 30, that it says, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." That the Corinthian church, because they weren't doing it properly, that there was many that were ill, many that actually had passed on because they had not done it well. And we want to realize that for the Lord's Supper, that it's only to be done if we're a child of God, and only if we're to be living in obedience to the Lord's Word, that we should partake, that we are to examine ourselves before God. We are to allow Him to search us through His Word. That we read in Hebrews 4 that the Word of the Lord is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing asunder the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That the Lord gives us His Word so we can examine ourselves. And as we do that, it's not for the thought that, I can't partake because of this, but it's so that we can come to Him, that we can get forgiveness, these things can be cleansed, so that then we may partake. And as we do that, this time of remembrance of what the Lord has done, this time of self-examination, in doing so, it draws us closer to God, our Savior. It draws us closer to each other. Because as we confess our sins, as these different areas we've forgotten are dealt with, then we have a closer relationship with our Heavenly Father. And as each of us does that, that we come in communion with one another, that we draw nigh to God and we draw nigh to one another. And so it's the thought that we have, that we examine ourselves. It speaks 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves, see if Christ dwells within us. And then as believers, that we also understand that we allow the Holy Spirit to examine us closely and clearly. We see the psalmist spoke in Psalm 139. Psalm 139 and verse 23, it says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And that is a thought, that we lay ourselves open before the Lord to show us if there's anything that's grievous, anything that displeases Him, that it can be forgiven, it can be cleansed, so that then we can enter into communion with Him, that we can partake, that if we judge ourselves, we would not be judged. That the Lord can chasten us as His children, but He wants us to learn the easy way, not the hard way. And so may the Lord help us in that, that we could draw close to Him, that He could show us where we are. And that's why we're having it, that we speak about it today, but we're going to have it at the end of the week to give ourselves some time to really examine ourselves. Because sometimes there's things we need to deal with. It takes a bit of time for the Lord to speak with us. Sometimes we find that we have things that we've maybe wronged a brother or someone, and we need to try to make that right. That all these things that we want to do so that we can come together before the Lord. And we want to remember, more than anything, the whole idea of it. That, and we understand that we don't need necessarily to have the Lord's Supper so that we would remember, but it is something that is done regularly so that we would be brought into remembrance. And we are to partake in remembrance of Him. And may the Lord help us in that. It is something we have in our calendar in Canada. We have Remembrance Day, that we remember the sacrifice of those who fought and died for our freedoms, that we speak in that day, lest we forget. That it is very important that we do not forget the sacrifice that was made. But far more than that, we need to remember the great sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ made on our behalf. That He gave His life, He shed His blood, His body was broken on our behalf, that we could be saved, that we could have freedom from death and from the penalties of our sin, that He can give us new life, new hope, new purpose. And we want to realize where we would be if it was not for the Lord Jesus Christ, if He had not allowed His body to be broken, if He had not shed His blood, that we would be without hope in this world. But because He did, our lives have changed. And we can just think of how the Lord is blessed because of that. And so may the Lord help us as we go through this week to come, as we go through each week, that we would set that in our mind that we need to remember Him. That there should not be a day that we forget, or that we don't praise the Lord for His goodness, for His mercy in saving us. That we realize that even if we have nothing else in this world to be thankful for, if we've trusted in Christ as Savior, we can be thankful for His great sacrifice for our sins. And so may the Lord help us that we would not forget what He has done, that we would partake in remembrance of Him this week, and that we would continue to remember Him in the weeks to come. And so it is, as we examine ourselves, and of course, when the time comes on Friday, it's not something that it's up to me to examine you to determine whether you're able to partake or not. That's between you and the Lord. And so you're welcome to come as you examine yourself. If the Lord gives you that peace to do so, be glad to have you partake. But it is as we examine ourselves, as we have that time of self-examination, that really it's something that we don't need to wait to do. It's something really, if we do it every day, it would do us in good stead, so that we would always have that closeness with the Lord, that we would, as soon as we realize we've departed from the Lord or we've done something wrong, we would confess it and forsake it. And may we do that, that we would enter into that communion with the Lord each day, that we would be close to Him and that He would bless us and make us a blessing to those around us. Let's pray. Dearly Father, Lord, we just thank You once again for Your great sacrifice for us, Lord. We just pray that You would bless each of us, Lord, and help us, Lord, to examine ourselves. Show us, Lord, where there may be a wicked way within us, Lord. Purge us from all iniquity and draw us unto Yourself, Lord. Lead us in the way of life everlasting. And just help us, Lord, that we would always remember what You have done, that we would never forget, and that we would live in the light of it, Lord, and that we would want to share it with those around us that don't know You yet, Lord, that have not trusted You as Savior, that they too, by faith, may apply Your shed blood to their lives, that You might pass over them when judgment comes. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's turn to one more hymn as we stand. Hymn number 3. We'll sing Jesus Paid It All. Hymn number 3. Alright, hymn number 3, On the First.
I hear the Savior say, Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me Thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find Thy power and Thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby Thy grace to claim. All washed my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
And verse 4.
And when before the throne I stand in Him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Amen. And of course, all you're welcome to stay for food afterwards. and just look forward to fellowship with you. And trust you, Lord, will have a good week as we look towards Easter Sunday. Brother Paul, would you please dismiss us in prayer?
Thank you.